We are speaking here on the congregation of the Almighty. The congregation of the Almighty is actually the church of God. And it is vitally important that every man gets to comprehend what the term the church really means. Every man has to understand what the church is in reality, what the church is from God's perspective, not what man tells us, not what we have been made to believe by the systems of men and the traditions of men. It is vitally important we understand this. That is why Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3, I'm going to start off from verse 8. He says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I may preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Now, Paul speaks here about the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The mystery of the fellowship hid in God from the beginning of the world, who created all things by Jesus Christ. All things by Jesus Christ. Now, these are very, very weighty words. They are very weighty words. First of all, he speaks about the mystery of a fellowship. Then he now speaks about God creating the whole world, creating all things by somebody called Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you see, in very plain language, God is bringing to light the mystery of the fellowship in Christ before this world was. Praise God. Now, this fellowship is embedded in Christ himself. Christ is a celestial body. Jesus Christ is not just a man born of Mary 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ is not just a good Hebrew man with long hair, blue eyes, and all those kind of wonderful imaginations we have of him. We speak here of a celestial man, a heavenly man, a corporate body with innumerable members in that body. And in that body, there is the fellowship of the saints. There is a fellowship in that body. And as a result of the fellowship, the things seen do appear. See, all things are created by him. It's not just one physical, independent man. We're speaking here about a mysterious fellowship in Christ, in the Son of God, in this figure we call Jesus Christ. This is the one that has created all things. Now, this is a secret that has been hid from the foundation of the world. God is trying to let men relocate their place in that fellowship that has been before this world was. The gospel is trying to cause men to relocate themselves back in that fellowship in light. Praise God. Everything you hear in the Bible about the gathering of the saints is all to awaken man back into this fellowship in light. Praise God. So what are we doing here? We're going to go straight away to understanding what the church is. From Paul's letter, he has already given a hint of what the church is, because like we have seen over and over again, the church is the body of Christ. The church represents the members of Christ. It is a celestial body. It is a congregation of multitudes of invisible spirits that share that same identity with the Lord of glory. That is why in the book of Colossians, Paul, whose eyes had been opened to see this mystery, says, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the powers of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, what the gospel does is to translate you into the kingdom of the dear, of God's dear Son, or you can call it the realm, the kingdom, the world of the firstborn, or the only begotten Son, or his dear Son. See, when Jesus Christ transfigured upon the mountain, remember the same words that came from heaven. This is my dear Son in whom I am pleased. Hear him. Listen to him, because he is here to testify and to remind you of your participation in himself. Hear him as he speaks. Be attentive to the Spirit. Oh, praise God. Hear him. This is my dear Son. That is the only thing that God, you know, calls dear. And he says, in him I am well pleased. God is speaking here that his fullness actually dwells in the Son. God dwells in the Son. The Son is the manifestation of God. There is no other place God can be located except in the Son. If the fullness of God dwells in the Son. This is my dear Son in whom I dwell, in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. Now let us move on. In whom, I'm reading Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things we are created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it has pleased the Father that in him should dwell the fullness, in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in the earth or in things in heaven. So we are seeing the whole pattern here, speaking explicitly of a church, the church. So this one man, this dear son of God, is actually the head of the church. See, and we have seen it again that the fullness of God, everything that is God, dwells in the Son. Every single thing that is God, everything dwells in the Son. And today by the gospel we are being reconciled unto God through the Son, because that is where God is. To participate in the life of God, in the commonwealth of God, every man must recognize this body of saints called the church, which is actually the body of him that fills all in all. This is the only way to salvation. That is why Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way a man can rediscover his full potential, his unlimitedness, his omnipotent power, his omniscient, you know, self, except through a revelation of this thing we called Christ. And getting the revelation of Christ, you get the revelation of the church, because it is one entity. There are no two things. There is nothing like a church and the head. There is nothing like a body and the head. They are one indivisible body in the heavens. Praise God. And everything that is created, everything that is that appears through this one that has been from the beginning, before all things. Praise God. And it's very vitally important to understand that this union has been before time. The church is the oldest establishment that exists. It is the oldest corporation. It is the oldest assembly, because it has been before time. Praise God. Now, when we hear the transgression of man, man transgresses when he discovers himself out of this union. When man simply, you know, becomes blinded to the reality of this body in the heavens, he finds himself, you know, lost in this present world. So God has come to revive his people. That is why we're hearing messages today. God is educating us of a body in the heavens, a celestial congregation, hallelujah, a congregation of saints, people the Lord himself refers to as Elohims, sons of God, morning stars, people that the Lord refers to as the branch, the divine branch of himself. Because these ones are creatures of himself. They are actually creatures of God. They are creatures of himself. They are branches of God. Oh, praise God. That is why when John meets the Alpha and the Omega in the book of Revelation chapter 1, John sees the Alpha and the Omega. presenting himself in an allegorical form. He sees this radiant image, this brilliant image of Christ Jesus in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he saw him standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Praise God. And he saw him clothed with a garment that reached unto the feet. You see all this in the book of Revelation chapter 1. His eyes burned like fire. He had long white hair, white as wool. His face shone as the sun. He had foot, as bronze that was glowing, bronze that had been placed in a furnace. And he had seven stars on his right hand, and out of his mouth went forth a double-edged sword. And when John saw this image, he was told to write it down and send it to the churches that are dispersed upon the earth. God wants every man to know, to understand the mystery of this splendorous image that John saw in the Spirit. God wants you to understand it. That's why the books are open today. The books are open today so that we can understand the mystery of this glorious man in the heavens that is called Christ. And when you understand what Christ is, you understand what the church is. That is why he says Jesus Christ goes further to explain the mystery of the seven candlesticks. Because he was standing in the midst of seven candlesticks. And Jesus Christ, Christ goes further to explain to John what this meant. God wants his people to understand what this means. That's why he says the mystery, verse 20, the mystery, Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest at my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks, or the seven stars, are the angels of the seven churches. Praise God. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Here we see the Alpha and the Omega in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. See, in reality, these are the branches, the seven branches of the menorah, which is the golden candlestick. Moses had seen an image of this upon the mountain of Sinai. A golden candlestick with seven golden branches, divinely attached to one another. God had commanded Moses that candlestick must be built out of one piece. It must be hammered out of one piece, one lump of gold, one gold piece. He was ordered not to join them, not to join different gold pieces, but to make sure that they form the golden candlestick out of one piece of gold lump, showing that they are one piece. They are not fragmented pieces joined together, but they are one single piece. Today we got to understand that the church, the seven churches, which is actually the church, remember that light itself has seven colors, seven major colors. And you call it light. Light is one color, but pass it through a spectrum, you see seven colors. So when he says seven churches, in reality, he's speaking about the church of God. These are the saints in light. It speaks about one celestial body, which is called the church. And it is actually of the same substance with the Alpha and the Omega. They are united in one. The Alpha and the Omega represents the stem. And the churches represent the branches. And they are one, connected in one from eternity. Praise God. Now these are things that are hidden from mankind. But this is divine truth. Revelation truth. Coming to light today to reveal to you what the church is. So the Alpha and the Omega sends his trumpet, his message to remind the sons of God that they have a place in that golden candlestick. That they have a connection, a divine connection with God from the beginning. You must awake to this reality that the life of God is yours. The immortality of God is yours. You are one with the Almighty. With this kind of revelation, you begin to loosen yourself from the entanglements of this world and reunite once more with the one that inhabits eternity. It's very important we understand these things. So the mystery of the seven stars, which are the messengers of God in the churches, and the mystery of the seven golden candlesticks, we see the church. This is the church of God. It is the body of the Lord. It is one piece with the Lord. It is one. Jesus Christ prayed that they may be one as we are one. We must realize this unity, this reality of our oneness in God. Every man must see this mystery, awake to this mystery, conform himself into this mystery. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. This is the church of God. It has been before time. See it. Another place is called the congregation of the Almighty. It is the congregation of gods. The congregation of Elohim, the place where sons of God gather in one place to manifest the glory of God. Oh, oh, hallelujah. The book of Psalms is a very common psalm. Psalms 82 speaks about the church. Church, God standing in the congregation of the Almighty, meaning that God is in the midst of the congregation. It is in the midst of the congregation or the assembly of the mighty. He's standing among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die as like men, and fall like one of the princes. Praise God. You can see here, the Spirit is revealing a congregation of the Almighty. God is in the midst of that congregation of the Almighty. That is where God's Spirit is found. It's not speaking about an independent personality called God. If you comb the heavens and the earth, you will not find a big man seated on a big chair somewhere in the sky. No. God is in the midst of that congregation. God is in the midst of the congregation of the mighty. These are sons of God. This is the church of God. That church is actually the body of Christ. There is no such thing as an independent man somewhere in the sky called Jesus. Come the heavens and the earth, you will not find him. That one man called Jesus is actually the congregation of you and I in God. If you want to find God, you find God in that congregation. If you want to find the presence of the Almighty, it is in that congregation. Those who stand in that elevated place, in the Spirit upon Mount Zion. Now, of course, we have problems upon the earth. Man has been subjected to corruption and to death, and we see all the misery upon the face of the earth, the conflicts, the wars, destruction that is ravaging the earth today is because the sons of God have slipped away. They've lost their place in that congregation. That is why all these things happen, because they've forgotten. And they have, you know, slipped into the realm of mortality. They have become the sons of men rather than sons of God. And that is why death reigns. The understanding has been darkened. Men have become, you know, blinded spiritually. That is why the foundations of the earth are out of course. And that is why men die. That is why people die as men. All men come out of that congregation. All men. All men have their origin in that congregation of the Almighty, which is the church of God. So it's a gathering of perfected spirits upon Mount Zion. That is why Jesus Christ spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees, those who were critical of his declaration, those who were critical and offended that Jesus would declare that he was actually one with God, that he was a manifestation of the Father upon the earth. Those words of Jesus sounded like blasphemy. They sounded too high for the natural man. It sounded as if Jesus Christ was going against even the laws of Moses. But little did they understand that Moses never had the true revelation of Christ. None of the Old Testament prophets who wrote the laws understood the mystery of Christ. Even Moses, God had told Moses to tell the children of Israel that he will send somebody, he will send one, somebody to them. Who will speak to them? And that one who will speak to them is the one they must listen to. And when Jesus comes on the scene, he says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Don't hear Moses. In reality, Moses was testifying about Christ, but he did that in, you know, in allegory. He did that in, you know, in a symbolic gesture. He communicated letters and not spirit. He communicated letters and not spirit to the people. That's why the people died. The letter killed, but it's the spirit that gives life. Jesus Christ spoke spirit, communicated spirit. So Moses, God, Jesus was the one to hear, and Jesus today is still speaking by his spirit. That's why we have to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour, not what Moses is saying. The scribes and the Pharisees thought Jesus was going against the laws of Moses, that he was going against the very revered laws of Moses. But Jesus Christ turns around and tells them that isn't it written in your law that ye are gods? You see this in John chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? The scribes and the Pharisees did not realize. They did not recognize the fact that they themselves were gods. That they themselves were the ones seated in the congregation of the Almighty before this world was. They had forgotten. Jesus Christ recognized this fact. Jesus Christ had eyes to see and ears to hear this mystery. And he entered in freely to participate. And today, any man who can hear the communication of the Spirit has a right to participate in this fellowship of light with the saints in heavenly places. Because we are all gathered today, gathered upon this high mountain, in one upon Mount Zion, to fellowship, to contemplate the glory of God, to walk in God, to exercise ourselves in God, to do the Alpha and the Omega works in God. We are the ones in that control room from the beginning, doing the exploits of God, declaring the glory of God. You are the ones today that have come to Mount Zion. You are the ones today who have come, you know, to the city of the living God, to the General Assembly, the Church of the Firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, and to God, the Judge of all. You have come there. This is the will of God, to return back to that first elevated place you were in before you took your trip, you descended like Adam into the realm of the dust. And when you died as a man, you left your glorious apparel, your glorious self, your immortal, incorruptible self, and descended from the heights of God to become immortal. And God says, return back to your first state. This is the commandment of God today. Praise God. So understand that the church is the body of God. It is not a man-made entity. It is ageless. It has been before time. It's actually the body of God, displayed and displayed again, but men are forgotten. Only if a man can sit down and listen. The congregation of the Almighty, united in one, in God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. our recognition, our able to hear what the Father is saying in this hour, restores you back into this congregation. That's why Jesus Christ, at a point in his ministry, while moving around, he stopped and asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am?" And they say, some people say that you are John the Baptist, some say you are Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now this is the general concept of men. People still recognize God, Jesus, as some kind of prophet or some kind of man, a good righteous man. A man born of a woman. A messenger of God or something. People have not really gotten the revelation of Christ. So Jesus Christ turns to the disciples and asks them, "Who do you, my disciples, say that I am?" Now the disciples are those who hear. The disciples are those who go beyond parables. The disciples are those who have exercised themselves to hear what the Spirit is saying and to follow the lamp wherever he goes. Those are the disciples of God. He says, "To those that are without, all things are given in parables, in proverbs, in symbols. But to you, my disciples, those of you who draw near to listen, you hear and you see what even the prophets never saw or hear." Praise God. So who do you say that I am? Who do you, my disciples, you hear, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." Flesh and blood has not revealed this mystery. Flesh and blood was actually the reasoning of the natural mind. Cannot understand the mystery of Christ. It's impossible. Peter had gotten a revelation from above. He had heard the trumpet of the Father. So never get worried when people do not understand you when you speak. People cannot comprehend or hear on the same frequency that you hear. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised and disappointed at times when close associates suddenly leave you. It's because they have not gotten the mystery of what the Father is saying in this hour. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. You see, the Father wants you to see the mystery of Christ. The Father wants you to understand what Christ is. That Christ is not just a man. That Christ is not born of a woman. Christ is not flesh and blood. Christ represents one who has been from eternity, who comes out of the bowels of the incorruptible, immortal God, whose existence has been from eternity. It's not the son of Mary or the son of Joseph or whatever. No. It's not a Hebrew man. It's not a male. It's not what we think he is in the flesh. It's a holy thing. Something conceived out of the mind of God. Something brought forth out of God. Something in God. The Son of the living God. And the Father will educate you more and more and more of what this means. When you see him and understand him, you begin to understand your participation in the fellowship of the saints in him. You have a part in him. You are intertwined in him. Praise God. And look at the response. Jesus Christ goes on, you know. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise God. Shall be loosed in heaven, whatever you bind on earth or loose on earth is bound and loosened in heaven. I give you the keys. These are the keys of life and death. The keys to loosing men out of the prison houses of corruption. Because when the eyes are open to see Christ, your eyes are open to see the mystery of your participation in Christ, the fellowship of the saints in light, because you are actually that Son of God. It's a universal body. Both individually and corporately, we represent that Son of God who has been from eternity. Thou that sleepest, awake to this reality. You that sleep, awake to this reality. See, the church is built by recognizing this mystery. Like fuel, the Lord will inject this revelation into you to cause your engine to start again. So you can once more walk in that perfection. Walk in heavenly places. Walk in your inheritance in lights once more. That is how the church is built. It's not by your human methods, but it's built as man begins to perceive the voice of the Spirit. As you begin to hear the revelation of the Father seeks to reveal the mystery of the church to you. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased, hear him. He wants every man to see that celestial body. You know, when Jesus transfigured upon the mountain, there was actually a celestial body there. The congregation of God. The congregation of the Almighty. A fellowship of saints in light. United. When he saw the cloud, Jesus Christ was encircled with a cloud. A cloud came to cover Jesus. That cloud is actually a body of witnesses, innumerable company of spirits, saints, which are actually represent the body of Christ. It's a congregation of God. Oh, hallelujah. Who must ascend into that congregation. When God appears, he appears with his congregation, because without the congregation, there is no God, and without God, there is no congregation. This is the only thing that there is. There is the body of Christ that reveals God. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Oh yes, for a moment, we have all participated in a lower nature of flesh and blood. But the time comes to awaken. Awaken to your origin in him. Awaken to the revelation of the fact that you have been in him from the foundation of the world. You can never die. You are immortal. You are actually creatures of himself. We are all one universally. One in him. One body, one spirit, one Lord. This is the church. When we gather on, we meet together to share one of things together, we're reminding ourselves of our unity, our bond in the Spirit, in the congregation of the Almighty, in celestial places. This is our calling. Praise God. So let every man get this revelation. Recognize yourself in Him before this world was. Walk in Him. Confess Him. Speak in Him, because that is you. This is what opens to the door to the new heavens and the new earth. This message is to be continued. God bless you.